हरिः ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So we've had Draupadi been dragged into the court, and she's asking everybody, so what's happening here? What's actually the just position? Right, so with Duryodhana and his brothers and that, then it's not about the just position. It's just about Duryodhana expressing his, envy and jealousy and just being able to give so much trouble, and just that giving of trouble is just, his greatest pleasure, right? So nobody knows what to say because everything is wrong. And Dhritarashtra's, because of his attachment to his son, is not addressing that issue. He's just going on like as if it's some natural, nice, auspicious activity that's happening, and his son is, getting some benefits from it. So then finally, when no one's saying anything, then Vikarna, he stood up. At first, he tries to get everybody else to respond because he's not a senior person there. He's one of the younger brothers, And then when no one will respond, then he responds. And he says that, one is it's an improper match, so you can't actually take it as real. Two is when somebody gets so absorbed in the gambling like that that it just goes insane, you can't take that as real. And three, he makes the point is that when you've lost yourself, you don't have anything to gamble. How can you gamble more? So his point was Draupadi's not lost. And so after he said that, then there was it says here, as Vikarna sat down, the assembly was in uproar. Practically everyone applauded him and censured Shakuni. Right, so you can see as everyone's silent because they didn't know what to do, everything's wrong, and Dhritarashtra's not saying anything. And Duryodhana is so brazenly behaving badly. So it's just, they've never heard of such a thing. So then when everybody's, then is applauding him. So you can understand that all the kings there actually support that. They were quiet because they didn't want to disturb anybody, disturb Duryodhana, but they didn't approve of it. Karna at once leapt up and waved his powerful arms about to silence the assembly. Right, because he's with Duryodhana, so now he has to, how you say, establish the rightful order here. His angry voice boomed. Vikarna, I observe many improper things in this assembly, and your words are an example of one of them, right? Nothing else is wrong, right? Okay. Like fire springing from a log, your anger will simply consume you, right? He doesn't understand this. Okay. Like a fire springing from the log becomes consumed. What about the rest of the forest? Right? It's not that the log in the forest starts on fire and then the log burns, yes, but it's not that the rest of the forest doesn't. So what he doesn't see is that, yes, he's saying, okay, he may be destroyed, but the fire that started with Draupadi's anger, then that will destroy everyone in that room. Like that. So, yeah. He's a fool. All the great personalities among the Kurus are silent. Obviously, this means they consider Draupadi's daughter fairly won. You are immature, therefore you rail in anger and speak like a fool, even though you do not know the laws of morality. Yudhishthira has staked and lost her as a fair bet. But so he's saying all the Kuru elders, what about all the other kings that are there, the hundreds of kings that are there? So they're all fools also because they all supported what he said? So that's what he's also saying. He's saying, we're right, they said nothing, even though before they said it's not good. But they're not taking that. They're just going by that they're so aghast at what's happening, they can't even relate to it. And so then, like this. Karna, like Duryodhana, still remembered his humiliation when Draupadi refused to allow him to compete in the Swayamvar. So you see, it's down to petty that they were rejected by a woman, and so now they want to insult her the best they can. Childish. It's like really bad children, right? Like that. But the pain of that refusal still rankles, right? Because Kshatriyas, they can never forget anything. One of their big weaknesses. He smirked at the distressed princess. She was now getting what she deserved, right? Because he's so fabulous because she stopped him. All it did is stopped him and he was there. But now she's being, you know, dealt with in this way. Everything's destroyed. All he lost is, you know, some prestige there. But here they've destroyed everything they have and just keep going. And they won't even stop. Once it gets to the point, if they can twist the knife a little more, they will. So, yeah. Karna turned to the assembly and argued that there was no sin in bringing Draupadi into the hall in her present state. After all, she had already accepted 5 husbands. Yeah, but it doesn't say she accepted 6. What kind of moral woman was she? In his opinion, she was unchaste. She pointed to Draupadi as he spoke, right? And so then he's behaving like an absolute animal, and somehow or another that makes him so much better, right? For such a woman, there's nothing wrong, even if she's brought without clothes into the assembly. Indeed, she now belongs to the Kauravas and must obey our command. Right? There is not one maidservant in the Kuru household that they deal like with. Neither was there one in history and past. You go back, Yayati, this one. Now, you go back to the first day, you know, in Brahma's day. This is 151 trillion years after. Never has this happened before. And he's saying, what's wrong with this? She's ours. So we deal, there's rules. You don't deal with anybody like this. Dushasana, take off her robes and remove also the Pandava's royal robes, dress also. They are no longer kings. Right, so all this is just pure, unalloyed envy like that. There's nothing glorious in anything that either comes out of Karna's, Duryodhana's, and Shakuni just laughs. He's already done his job. Bound by morality, the Pandavas slowly remove their upper garments, right? They're bound by morality. But Duryodhana, Shakuni, and Karna, and Dushasana absolutely are not. And they're so blind, they can't see it. They removed their upper garments and threw them down. They sat silently as Dushasana approached the wailing Draupadi. The Kaurava took hold of the end of her cloth and pulled on it forcibly. Draupadi held her sari tightly in an attempt to protect herself, but it was useless. Her strength was nothing compared to Dushasana's. She looked again at her 5 husbands. It was obvious they could not help her. As Dushasana pulled harder, she looked around the hall like a frightened deer assailed by a lion. There was only one person now who could save her, Krishna. The Supreme Personality saw everything. It was always her shelter. Draupadi fixed her mind on Krishna, threw up her hands and cried, O Govinda, O Keshava, O beloved of the gopis and Lord of Vrindavan, O Janardana, you destroy all afflictions. I am sinking into the Kuru ocean. O Lord, soul of the universe, creator of this world, save me now. I am distressed and losing my senses in this evil assembly. From where he sat in Dwarka, Krishna heard Draupadi's piteous cries. Those around him were surprised to see him jump up from his from his seat and run swiftly out of the palace. Because even though Krishna is going to be there in a moment by his yogic powers, but still it's about the taste that's there. It's about that taste of getting up to go help your devotee, like that. And then immediately he'll be there. But there's that getting up and moving. Okay. He immediately expanded himself by his inconceivable power and went at once to Hastinapur. By his By his mystic potency, he entered the assembly hall without being seen by anyone. He provided Draupadi with an unlimited supply of cloth to cover her. Dushasana pulled and pulled at her sari, and as he did so, the princess spun around and around. Right, because saris you wrap them around, so then as he pulls on the sari, she spins, but Krishna just puts more and more. There seemed to be no end to her sari. The Ashtanas prince pulled with even more strength, but Draupadi remained covered. Soon a large heap of cloth lay piled on the floor. Right? And for these kings, what a large pile means a really large pile. It doesn't mean like we're going out to buy cloth and we buy a little pile like this. Woo, big pile. We mean big pile. Seeing this wonderful event, all the kings praised Draupadi and censured Dushasana. The prince was exhausted from his futile attempt to undress the Pandava's wife. So if he's exhausted, that means he really worked hard and for, you know, some time. So you can imagine how much cloth is there. He sat down, perspiring heavily. Bhima leapt up and raised his arms. Kings of the world, he thundered, listen to my words. I shall now make a vow unlike any that has been made before, nor shall such a vow be made in future. If I do not forcibly tear open the breast of this sinful wretch on the battlefield and drink his blood, then may I not attain the path of my ancestors. Right, so he could very, you could say confidently said, no one's made this or nobody will make this vow. He didn't say, I will kill this man on the battlefield. No, I'll rip open his chest, pull out his heart, and drink the blood, right? Hearing Bhima's terrible words, the kings applauded him and again censured Dushasana. A clamor arose. Krishna's miraculous rescue of Draupadi had broken the tense atmosphere in the hall. Shouts of shame filled the air. Because, see, it's really hard to tell for these kings which way the morality is going. So now, with this miracle, it's obvious. She called out to Krishna. Krishna provided the sari. So you can understand that she's right, they're all wrong. Vidura once more brought silence to the assembly. He turned to Dhritarashtra and Bhishma. O learned men, you do not answer Draupadi's question, and thus in this assembly we transgress religion. A distressed person comes to an assembly of good men like a man feeling the heat of a blazing fire. The assembly should extinguish that fire and cool him with truth and morality. The troubled man asks about his rights according to morality, and he's entitled to an answer, which they haven't done. That makes, up to this point, Dhritarashtra and the kings there all sinful. O kings, Vikarna has offered one answer to Draupadi's question according to his own knowledge and judgment. Now you should also reply. Because if they don't reply, then whatever is wrong in them, in other words, anything that's wrong in what's going on there, Draupadi's feeling distress, the Pandavas, all that it's not answered. All that sin for that all falls on Dhritarashtra, 100%. And anybody else there who's supposed to give an answer like that. So that's the whole point. If they don't take it, if they do deal with it and correct it and everything like that, then they become more glorious. The person who's come for with the disturbance, they're satisfied. Everything becomes satisfied. Bhishma, Drona, and Kripa looked expectantly at Dhritarashtra. They were unable to tolerate any more from Duryodhana. Still, the blind king maintained his silence. Vidura continued, one who knows the rules of morality yet sits in an assembly without properly answering the question receives a sinful reaction. Right? And it'll be according to the degree of the activity that is being questioned. Listen as I recount the ancient history of Prahlad and the son of a rishi named Angirasha. Vidura now described Prahlad's son, Virochana, had once quarreled with a rishi named Sudandva for the sake of a bride. Right? So you can see here is that, that there's a kshatriya. It means it's there, the Kshatriya, Prahlad Maharaj's son, and Rishi's son, then they're quarreling over a girl. So at the same time, in this scene, that they're quarreling over a girl. And so then, in this, then a question is asked, and the question has to be answered. They had both gone to Prahlad and asked, "Which of us is superior? Answer us truthfully." Prahlad looked at both of them but said nothing. So it's exactly the same kind of situation. It means it's not exactly the same, case. But the point is the position that they're being asked and not giving an answer, then that is the same. Sudandva became angry and said, "If you do not answer, or if you answer falsely, then your head will break into 100 pieces." Right? And being the son of a rishi, he could curse him and that would happen. Right? He approached Kasyapa, right, Prahlad Maharaj. "Oh, exalted one, tell me what regions are obtained by one who, being asked a question, does not reply or falsely answers." Kasyapa said, "He who knows but does not answer out of lust, anger, or fear is bound by Varuna's 1,000 nooses. He who is called as witness but who speaks falsely is similarly punished." So if someone's called as a witness to a case and they speak wrong, it'll be the same. Or someone who knows but out of lust or other anger or fear, some other aspect, doesn't answer, then it's also the same. After one full year, one noose is loosened. And this continues for 1,000 years. Therefore, one should speak the truth, as he knows it, right? But that's what will happen on means just by the laws of nature. And in this case, he'll get his head exploding first. "If virtue, pierced by sin, goes to an assembly, it is the duty of every man there to remove the dart. If they fail to do so, then that same dart will pierce them." So whatever is the injustice, it will pierce everyone there. So Dhritarashtra, he can't fight and all that, so he's left alive, but all of his sons, everything he knows is gone. So there's him, his wife, and that's it. Like that. "In an assembly where a censurable act is not rebuked, every member of that assembly is afflicted by sin." That means everybody there. So the Pandavas, they're finding their wife, but everybody else there. Even the other kings have just come there. They've just been invited as guests, but they're not speaking. Vikarna is the only one that wouldn't be afflicted by sin. He's the only one that stood up and said what he thinks. Means in the very beginning, Vidura spoke, but Vidura is a junior there, even though he's the most wise. Like that. "Grief will overcome them all in due course." It may take some time, like you see Duryodhana enjoyed himself for 12 years or 13 years, and then after that he was dead. Right. After hearing Kasyapa's words, Prahlad said to his son, "Sudandva is undoubtedly your superior, as much as his father Angiraksha is mine." Just like he's a Kshatriya, and on the same age group than his father. Angiraksha is his superior. Then at the same time as his son and the son of that rishi, then the rishi's son is superior to the Kshatriya's son. Sudandva immediately blessed Prahlad. "As you have spoken the truth without being moved by affection for your son, may he live for 100 years. To bless the father, because, for the father, when they're always wanting the goodwill of their son, he said, "May your son live 100 years." Vidura concluded, "Hearing this great instruction about religion, let all those present deliberate on what should be done. Draupadi should be given an answer." Right? The other thing is just, it should have been Bhishma, Drona, or Kripa just stepped forward, pulled her sword, and lopped off Duryodhana's head, just at one. In drawing it, lop off their head, and that's all. And then if Karna and Shakyamuni wants them also, they're invited. But Krishna has a plan. You just kill him there, okay, it satisfies the thing, but you have the battle of Kurukshetra, then Krishna's work gets done. Still there was silence in the hall. Seeing the Kuru elders saying nothing and considering this tactic approval of their condition, her condition. Karna spoke to Dushasana, right? So because they're saying nothing, because they're waiting for the elders. He's saying, the elders have said nothing, so he's just chastised someone from the assembly saying something. Then they're quiet, waiting for, you know, somebody senior to say something. And then Karna, you know, how you say, who is not one of the senior persons, then they're taking control of it. They're taking full advantage. Karna spoke to Dushasana, take the servant woman to the inner apartments. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.